Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Tonight's broadcast title, Glenn Beck's Visit to the Vatican and Why We Are All Catholics Now. This is a 10-minute segment. Here are the first 2 minutes of his comments on his visit.
Pope Benedict elevated 22 cardinals last month at the Vatican. I was there. I had meetings at the Vatican for a couple of days there. I know you're going to find this hard to believe, but the Pope was actually criticized because the majority of the group that he was making a cardinal, how dare the Pope do this, but he put conservatives, people who the Pope thought, you know, cardinals would follow the Catholic doctrine. I know, who does he think he is, the Pope? Yeah. This Pope has shown us that he's extraordinarily conservative on social issues like living together, birth control, homosexuality. And each time he names a cardinal, he is handpicking the men who share his views, and he is charting the future of the Catholic Church. I brought my kids to Rome a couple of weeks ago, and I didn't go by myself because I wanted them to see this ceremony, because when we were flying over, I said, kids, you're about to witness history. What you're seeing is the packing of the court. You are seeing men being elevated to cardinal status that are conservative because the Pope, I truly believe, knows what's happening in the world. I had a chance to meet with several of the cardinals that had been elevated from all over the world. And when I was gathered, I want to be careful what I say. I don't want to speak for anybody in the Vatican, but it was my impression that the most conservative pope we had is doing this because he knows exactly what he's fighting against, and what he's fighting against is evil. I'm surprised, quite frankly, that the services in America are not in Latin yet because this guy is so conservative. The last two rounds of his cardinal appointments have all been conservatives, and they're there to chart the path. It's no different than what George Soros is trying to do with American attorneys general, except the Pope's people are playing for the good side, and, it's the same game, just different team.
Welcome to Mystery Babylon Radio on February 3rd, 2013. Many thanks to the audio crew and its chief technician, Jethro. Thanks. Tom Fresh from First Amendment Radio and host of Inquisition Update is with me tonight. Welcome to the broadcast, Tom.
Yes, good evening, Walt, and good evening to your listeners.
To cover the first 2 minutes of Beck's interview there, what is Glenn Beck marketing with the visit to the Vatican?
Well, Glenn Beck is marketing what we call ecumenism. Ecumenism is the unification of all the world's religions under one ecclesiastical authority, that is the papacy. And Glenn Beck now refers to all of us as Catholics now. And an attack upon the Roman Catholic Church is an attack upon Christianity. And that if we don't stand behind the Vatican, then we may all come under similar attacks. And the truth really is that Roman Catholicism is counterfeit Christianity. And it's one of the most subtle deceptions ever since the Garden of Eden, this idea that we ought to be ecumenically united with the Roman Catholic Church. The Protestant Reformers recognized the Roman Catholic Church as that church which was prophesied to come and to war against Christ. And they came out of the Roman Catholic Church under protest when they finally recognized in the scriptures, after reading it for themselves, that the Roman Catholic Church was prophesied in Revelation chapter 17 and 18. It was visually described. They recognized it for what it is, as the Antichrist Church, and they came out. And that's the command of Revelation 18, verse 4 and 5, to come out of her, my people, that you partake not of her sins, and that you receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. And the ecumenical movement is simply a means to draw the Protestants, those who originally protested the Roman Catholic Church as the Church of Antichrist, to persuade them back into the Roman Catholic Church and under the authority of the papacy. And Glenn Beck is one of the biggest actors now in the mainstream media in the name of ecumenism to unite all the religions under the Roman Catholic Church. Go ahead, Walt. I'm getting an echo, a double. I suspect possibly speakers are too hard, too high there. I'm hearing myself after about a 3 second delay.
Is that a little better?
Okay. Beck's had me. You know, that was the next question I was going to ask you. Is the fact that he is a Mormon, and the fact that he openly went to the Vatican. To me, what this represents here is the people, if the masses of people do not have any history, that he can come right out and as a Mormon take his children, and I have a picture of him with Timothy Dolan, who is the Archbishop of the United States. You know, so Beck had meetings for a couple of days at the Vatican, and why was Beck included in these meetings since he is a Mormon?
Well, because he's a representative of the Mormon Church, and under the guise of ecumenism and interreligious dialogue, Beck was, and not only that, but a proponent of quote unquote conservatism. Beck was obviously invited to participate and view these things, and then to take that message to the mainstream media. Mm-hmm. After all, I mean, the Mormon Church is just one of the daughters of the whore of Rome, the whore of the Book of Revelation, chapter 17.
But, and also in Roberto, how do you pronounce his last name, Roberto?
Rivera.
Yes. He brings out in his testimony that Mormonism and the Jehovah's Witnesses were drawn up by the Roman Catholic Church.
Yes, they were, and as a matter of fact, especially in regards to the Mormon Church, that was. The leader, the originator of the Mormon Church, was a Freemason, and he was also instructed by a Jesuit priest by the name of, his name escapes me just now, I wish I'd known we were going there. It'll come to me in a minute. When I remember it, I'll let you know.
Okay, listen, now I'd like to, one thing I would like before I play this next segment is I think this is a good time to put this in here. If we just give us a little, take us back and give us some brief history. In other words, if we went back to 1776, Rome was, Rome was illegal in the colonies.
Yes.
And if we went back there, Mormonism wasn't around yet.
That's right.
And I'm saying this off the top of my head, but Mormonism and Jehovah's Witnesses and these false religions is divide and conquer.
Mm-hmm. And that's what it was.
Yeah.
It was called the Counter-Reformation.
Yeah, and so I'm going to play the next segment right here.
Just different team. The Pope is going to turn 85 next month, and he is not exactly the picture of health. He's slowing down, and it is my impression that he understands that he has a limited time to get things done, and this matters. He's packing the court to make sure his successor is not going to throw the religion into disarray or not going to throw it into a liberation sort of Catholicism. A few days before I left for my trip to the Vatican, I'm getting ready to go, and I read an article that I didn't share with you at the time because I didn't want to tip my hand at all, but it claimed that the Pope, Pope Benedict, might be the victim of an assassination. He was, they say, the mark on an assassination plot. Here's how the story goes. This is according to the Vatican. One of his cardinals was the source of this claim. Late last year, when the cardinal was with other Catholic Church officials and Italian businessmen in China, he told them of a so-called death plot. Well, it was so vivid that many of the people in the room thought it was odd. Another cardinal caught wind of it and then secretly reported it to the Vatican Secretary of State. The Vatican, in this article that I read, told the public not to worry. What I'd like to tell you is you are seeing a high-stakes game at a level that most people, including me, do not even begin to understand. I believe the Vatican is actively engaged in a very different kind of battle than the one we normally think of. They are in a spiritual battle, but it will be physical as well. They are gearing up for a spiritual battle unlike anything we've seen. They know this is about good and evil, and they are watching even those around the Pope in the Vatican. That's why the cardinals are being selected so carefully now. At the same time, they're having problems here in America. This is the administration doubling down. We've told you before that the Obama administration said, you have to provide birth control. And the Pope said no. Then they said, well, you got some other things to do. In fact, come and visit us. They brought all of the bishops in to the White House. Last week we told you that, according to Cardinal Dolan, that the bishops were told, you know what, you got to stop listening to the extremists in your faith. You have to start listening to us and people like us because we're enlightened. The bishops said no, and so did the Pope. The Pope just issued a statement and said, we're not playing games on these issues. All of those issues are Obama hot button. Well, just a couple of days ago, we told you that the State Department released this report. This report basically is, this is about money laundering and financial crimes. Would you expect the Vatican to be in this report? The Vatican has now just been included by Hillary Clinton's State Department. The Vatican, known as the Holy See, is listed as a country or jurisdiction of concern for money laundering. Now, we looked it up. There's several reasons on why you can be in this report. Engaging in transactions involving significant amounts of proceeds from serious crimes, in other words, drug money or things like that. The nature and extent of the money laundering situation, so in other words, it's something really big. It's, you know, illegal hits or whatever it is, but it's huge. The ways in which the U.S. government regards the situation is having international ramifications. So if they're money laundering and it has international ramifications, the situation's impact on U.S. interests. I thought that one is interesting. Whether the jurisdiction has taken appropriate legislative actions to address concerns. So the first thing is, they're going to let them know that they're very concerned, that there's some funny business. As a result, the report says these jurisdictions of concern must undertake efforts to develop or enhance their anti-money laundering regimes. So what does that mean? That means the United States is just helping. They're helping, and they're going to add some additional regulation onto the Vatican, which means, if I'm reading this right, that the federal government can now say, we've got to look at all your books here. We've got to see what's going on because you're transferring an awful lot of money outside of the country. So we need to talk to the fathers about mass and everything else. This is
the Obama administration suspects the Vatican of money laundering and financial crimes. You know, I'm trying to not be facetious here, but that might be a good idea. What do you think? Comment.
Well, there was a lot in that last segment, and so much of it deserves comment, and it won't be possible in the short period of time we have. But Glenn Beck is trying to paint the Roman Catholic Church as a church in crisis, and that we all need to come to the aid of the Roman Catholic Church. There's your ecumenism.
Right.
There's your Christian unity that they're all seeking. The end game is the unification of all the Christian churches under the the authority of the papacy, and also trying to paint the idea that even the American government is against the Vatican, particularly with regard to the Vatican bank scandals that are historic. There isn't anything new about Vatican bank scandals. It's always been a scandal. And there were a great many scandals throughout history, and the most recent, the most notable, was in the 80s, which led to the death of Roberto Calvi and the involvement of the P2 Masonic Lodge and all of that. The readers can research for themselves. But in Roman Catholic canon law, no state has any authority over the papacy. It is divine and supreme and infallible, and that all the states must be subservient, that is, all the nations must be subservient to the authority of the Vatican and rule as the Vatican dictates. And it's preposterous to presume that the American State Department under Hillary Rodham Clinton is going to set standards for the Vatican Bank. That's simply not going to happen. They're simply trying to paint the idea that the state is out of line and reassert the old Roman Catholic line that the state serves the church and cannot question the church. And this, too, adds to the idea that the Roman Catholic Church is under attack, that it's a church in crisis, that it needs all of our support and defense. And this idea of stacking the College of Cardinals with conservatives is simply an indication that the true goal of the papacy is to overturn the ecumenical liberalism of accepting the Protestants as equal in the faith and to make them too subservient to the papacy. And conservatism, in the Roman Catholic Church's definition, is a return to ultramontanism, or the idea that the Pope is divine and infallible and the ultimate supreme authority in the world, and a global dictator by divine right as the replacement of Christ on earth. So a volume of conservative appointments to the College of Cardinals, particularly at this point in time when the Pope is 85 years old and failing in health and soon won't be with us much longer, is to ensure that the next Pope is a Tridentine Pope. In other words, a traditionalist Latin Rite ultramontane Pope that restores the Church from its liberal ecumenical position to a rigid, traditional, dictatorial, and autocratic and authoritarian church, as was presented to us at the Council of Trent. So that's why I call them Tridentine Catholics. See, in America, the Pope views Catholic and the American Catholic Church as a liberal church, one that is in defiance of the papacy, almost to the point of schism, almost to the point of heresy. And what we're preparing now is for a correction back to a more rigid and totalitarian and dictatorial type of Roman Catholicism.
What you're saying,
and what goes along with that is persecution of non-Catholics.
In other words, it's the old church and the Inquisition being reinstated.
That's right. That's what's happening.
Yeah.
That's what's happening. They're going to declare a new world order, and everyone's going to have to acquiesce to it and be a part of it, or they're going to be killed. And the Bible foretells this. Now, history is simply repeating itself. If anybody thinks that my comments are absurd, all they have to do is research history. Every time the Roman Catholic Church gained the ascendancy in any of the states of Europe, outright religious persecution, government-sponsored religious persecution, immediately followed. And when Roman Catholicism gains the upper hand in this country, especially under a rigid, ultramontane, traditionalist, Tridentine Pope, a conservative pope, by Rome's definition, religious persecution is going to be overwhelming. Roman Catholicism will be declared the state religion, and freedom of conscience will be a thing of the past.
And the only way that they can be so open with this like this, is, don't you think, in other words, because the general, not everybody is listening to Glenn Beck, but they count on ignorance.
Yes.
In other words.
And there's untold ignorance. I mean, the American people especially are completely ignorant about the past history of the Roman Catholic Church and how she did the very things that she's doing in the United States today, she did in all of Europe, and especially in England. And all we have to do is research that history of how the popes dictated over the kings of the earth in Europe. He crowned the kings, and he deposed the kings. He declared wars against nations and peoples, and that's how he ruled, and that's how he's going to rule again. That's how he's ruling today.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're going to... I'm going to play the... just a second here. I lost my place here. I'm going to start the second half. This is only 3 minutes and 26 seconds, so here we go.
Transferring an awful lot of money outside of the country, so we need to talk to the fathers about mass and everything else. This is nothing but a massive hit in the faith of Catholics. I tell you this because the Catholics know what they're up against, at least the ones in the Vatican. I'm convinced of it. I met with them. I talked to them about this stuff. They know. So what does that mean to you? Catholics, you have to understand. Read Ephesians 6. You have to put on your spiritual armor. You are not battling man. You are not. You are battling evil. This is Obama's way of saying back off and play ball our way. We're not going to move off abortion, gay marriage, or the revamping of America's values. The world now is being reshaped by evil, way beyond Barack Obama and this administration. What the Vatican does, and what the world's leaders in churches all over America, is absolutely critical. They are going after the Vatican because it is a church of hierarchy. You attack the top, and then you can change the church, change the country, change the world. Once the president and the Soroses of the world take care of the Vatican, how hard will it be to pick off the Lutherans or the Mormons or whoever? The Jews. They're starting big. Your evangelical pastor and your evangelical church is a piece of cake. If you knock it off, because all you have to do is start to intimidate. Those churches stand alone. Those churches rely on the parishioners, the congregants to come and support. You cannot stand alone, and you cannot sit this one out. We are all Catholics now. Tie yourself to something. Strengthen your pastor, priest, rabbi. Strengthen those in the Catholic Church. Strengthen your priest. If your priest is not telling you these things, ask him why. If he doesn't have a good answer, ask the bishop. If he doesn't have a good answer, go to another parish until you find a priest that will. There is a split in our churches, and you will see it in the Catholics. You must not remain neutral. There are two ways to look at this story. The State Department says the Vatican is vulnerable. Hi, we're from the government, and we're here to help. Just like we helped GM and small businesses and the big banks. Don't do it, Catholic. The second way to look at it is the way I do. I don't think Hillary Clinton's State Department is there to help the Catholic Church. Call me crazy. Anybody who stands with the Catholic Church, it is imperative that you understand what is going on now. Please pray for these leaders all around the world. We are all Catholics. We are all Jews. We are all Protestants. and we must all hang together, or as Ben Franklin said, we will surely hang separately.
Well, I like to quote from A Foreign Conspiracy Against the Liberties of the United States by Samuel Morris in 1835. The food of popery is ignorance. Ignorance is the mother of papal devotion. Ignorance is the legitimate prey of popery. Ignorance, the condition of being uneducated, unaware, or uninformed. In other words, I think this is time to comment again. It gets even clearer for me the fact that most people in this country do not understand when you say liberal Catholics. Because the Americans as a whole have been kind of liberal with their thinking. They've been kind of put to sleep. And what the real traditional Catholicism and where they're headed. Any comments?
Well, the Roman Catholic Church has been split for a good long time. And the liberal wing of the Roman Catholic Church for a good long time now has had the ascendancy. And I said years ago that the power of the liberal wing of the Roman Catholic Church has swung the pendulum to the left so far that we're overdue for a swing of the pendulum to the right. And I believe that violent swing of the liberal pendulum to the left was done to prepare for a violent swing to the right. And they're going to continue to embrace ecumenism, unity, and even a call for unity among the Roman Catholic Church, but toward a traditionalist or tridentine position. And that is going to solidify the Roman Catholic Church and then separate the wheat from the chaff in all the harlot daughters. And some are going to go along with what they believe to be the true Church of Jesus Christ, the Roman Catholic Church, and they're going to repudiate Christ in doing so and then begin open religious persecution against those who hold to the Bible and to Christ and to his law. And it's all in preparation for open, government-sponsored religious persecution and inquisition. And the ignorance of the American people and of the world is what makes this even possible. If we first of all understood that Revelation chapter 17 and 18 speaks of none other than the Roman Catholic Church, and that it is indeed the Church of Antichrist, and that the Pope is the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist, and that the Protestant reformers acknowledge this, that Protestantism, the very foundation of Protestantism, is built on this fact, then also if we knew the history of the papacy throughout the last 2,000 years and the history of how the papacy persecuted and tortured and killed and burned at the stake anybody who resisted the papacy, nobody would be willing to participate in any ecumenical movement to unite with the Roman Catholic Church, much less come to her aid in this so-called period of crisis. It's ignorance. It's ignorance is why all of this has succeeded. And it's all a part of the Jesuit-led Counter-Reformation. You know, the winner of every conflict gets to write history. And that's why Rome's bloody history has been blotted out of our history books. But that history is available for those who have the courage to study it and read it. And once one does that, then the conclusions are obvious.
Yes, and I noticed in the speech there that he was posing the Catholic Church as the conservatives.
Yeah,
and that Obama was the left. In other words, it's again they're using the dialectic and divide and conquer.
Yeah. certainly they have to have an antichrist figure to keep taking the light of suspicion off of the papacy. And that's part of the strategy of destroying Protestantism. A true Protestant, knowing history, knowing the Bible, never departs from the truth that the papacy is antichrist. Okay? But so that being the case, the Pope, the papacy always has to put the onus on another so-called antichrist to keep people from going back to the old Protestant belief. And it's a very, very effective strategy that they've used, and had our Protestant churches maintained the belief of the Protestant reformers, it would not have been possible. But they failed in their mission.
Right. There's another article here I have by Glenn Beck, and I'd like to read some of it, Tom, and if you want to stop and need a comment, go ahead. I am a proud member of the Church of Christ, of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, but today I call myself a Catholic. Why? Because the state is telling the Catholic Church to violate its principles and teaching. So if you are a person of faith, you must call yourself a Catholic.
Okay, stop. Catholicism is built on the fact that the Pope is, as it were, God on earth, and that the Roman Catholic Church is the one holy Roman Catholic and Apostolic Church, the only church in which salvation is obtainable. Therefore, as the divine church, as the infallible church, the papal church, is the head of the spiritual world. And the spiritual is higher than the temporal. And that's what the papacy has always propounded through Roman Catholic canon law, that the state must be subservient to the church. And when the state, as in the case of the State Department of the United States, particularly Hillary Rodham Clinton, begins to set standards for the Vatican Bank or proposed rules and regulations under which the Vatican Bank must be subject, then it appears that the Roman that the role is reversed and that the state is over the church, and that rallies Roman Catholics. Okay, It's not hard for a Protestant to say, well, the Roman Catholic Church must obey the laws of the state, okay, because the state is higher than the church. The Roman Catholic Church is nothing in the world. It's the church of Antichrist. It is the rebellious power of Satan on the earth. And I hope my language isn't too strong for your listeners, but if they find my language too strong and offensive, all they have to do is study the teachings of the Protestant reformers. And this is what's lost. This is what confuses and confounds Protestants as well as Catholics. And so now they've set the stage for a repositioning of the papacy above the states, above the nations of the world. That's that's the Roman Catholic canon law position. That has always been the position of the papacy, that as the divine right ruler of the world, all states, all kings, all governments must obey the papacy at his command.
And that's what you just said is historical.
Yeah. And so everything that we've said, is ready to fling the pendulum violently to the right, to conservatism, Roman Catholic conservatism. We're not talking about political conservatism. They've just used this idea of homosexual marriage and abortion and homosexual rights and these things to keep in our minds social conservatism. But what the Roman Catholic Church means when she talks about conservatism is rigid, ultramontane, tridentine traditionalist Latin rite. The Pope is the God of this world, Catholicism. And so they've got everybody on board with this move, this violent move to the right, and they don't know what they're bargaining for. And it's going to be history all over again. It's going to be bloodshed like you would not believe.
And, you know, a lot of people in history considered Adolf Hitler on the left. No, he was on the right.
That's absolutely correct. He was a Roman Catholic. He was raised in a Roman Catholic family. He sang in the Roman Catholic Church. He even had plans to join the Roman Catholic ministry. And he simply said that we are only doing what the Roman Catholic Church has done for the last 1,500 years. Fascism, Nazism particularly, was hierarchical. It was modeled right after the Roman Catholic Church. It was hierarchical, and it was clerical. The priests ran the Nazi Party. And every one of Hitler's henchmen were devout Roman Catholics.
And the Inquisition, we might say, when the Inquisition was in full bloom, and same with Germany, they do, and that's why they're writing the laws today. Rome does it with civil power, and they do it legally.
Yes, the papacy always rules the people through the civil laws of the land. And what we're seeing is the Constitution of the United States being replaced by Roman Catholic canon law. And the first liberty to be destroyed by Roman Catholic canon law is freedom of speech, freedom of the press, and most and foremost, freedom of religion.
Yes. I'm going to continue on this article now. Today, the Catholic Church is defending a historic American freedom. I might comment on American. When the Catholics mention American freedom, that's where they got their freedom in 1776. They got the liberty to practice their religion. We tend to forget that many of America's earliest European settlers were religious refugees. Europe was not a kind place to the faithful if the state didn't approve. Isn't it a
stop?
Yep, go ahead.
Stop right there. See, right there is the lie. It says that the people were in danger of the state. But the truth of the matter is the state only became a threat to the people when the Vatican instructed the state to persecute the heretics in their realms. We fled religious persecution and torture and inquisition, not because the state imposed it, but because the Vatican forced the state to persecute.
No. Yeah, that came at a perfect time, exactly what you were explaining just prior to that. Yeah. Europe was not a kind place to the faithful if the state didn't approve. Jews in Spain, Puritans in England, Protestants in France, and so on, you were cast out, or worse. The one thing they do by controlling history, it still amazes me today how in this country the people do not realize Catholicism was illegal prior to 1776. You can't say that enough time because they had to tolerate long enough to get their agenda going, and they've been very successful. I mean, they were the smallest denomination prior to 1776, and now they're the largest.
And let me just say that Catholicism was outlawed only because of its historical brutality and persecution.
Right.
When it was in power, it was a matter of survival that they had to put down Catholicism in England. And of course, all the English immigrants to this country knew the brutality of the papacy and what a threat Roman Catholicism was to liberty if it was allowed to practice in the colonies. So,
yeah. Our founding fathers remembered this. They knew if you can't serve God as you choose, you are not free. And so they enshrined that right in the First Amendment of the Constitution.
The state shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof. This is why Americans are offended by the ruling from the White House that would force church-run institutions to pay for its birth control and morning-after pills, which are tantamount to abortion. The so-called compromise is no compromise. Under government-approved health insurance plans that the church pays for, the abortifacients would be covered. That's the compromise. Sin by proxy. That's the compromise. Many people, including those who use contraceptives and abortion, respect those whose faith teaches them that God wants them to do or not to do certain things. They recognize such faith in themselves. Some people don't drink alcohol. Some don't eat pork. Some work in a soup kitchen. Some tie 10% of their income, and because God tells them to. This is what conscience is. As a belief in a higher power greater than the state, greater than any man. And right there, he's saying a power greater than the state. And what is the power that's greater?
The power that is greater than the state is the papacy.
That's right.
The vicar of Christ, the replacement of the Son of God on earth. See, he's preaching Catholicism all throughout this.
Yes, yes. In other words, and that's what you're reading, Tom, right now is The Papacy and the Civil Power by R.W. Thompson. This is a 700-page book, and R.W. Thompson was the Secretary of Navy. I mean, this was not just somebody in a disgruntled church writing this.
Yeah.
You know, and so, well, anyway, Tom, would you like to, we got about 4 minutes, would you like to tell us a little bit more about R.W. Thompson and the papacy and the civil power?
Well, yes, but before I do, I want to tell the listeners that Romans chapter 13 lays out the role of the state to reward good and to punish evil. Now I ask my Christian leader, my Christian listeners, what is good? Obedience to God's law. And what is evil? A violation of God's law. Not a word is said about Roman Catholic canon law, which is the inverse of God's holy law. The state is to be the sword to punish evil, as God defines it, and to reward good as God defines it. Now, the state should be subservient to Christ and not the Roman Catholic Church, the biblical, historical, and prophetic Antichrist. A union of church and state, a union of the Roman Catholic Church with the state, is simply a restoration of the old world order. And the world should have learned a long time ago what the old world order was all about, and shun ecumenism, shun the new world order, and defy it at every cause. Now, Inquisition Update is the name of my program, Monday through Friday on FirstAmendmentRadio.com. I've just concluded reading the book by R.W. Thompson, The Papacy and the Civil Power, how we showed that the papacy governs all the kings of the earth, and what will bode for this country if a union of church and state replaces our free Protestant institutions. Now, I'm reading information proving what led to the ecumenical movement, and that is futurism. This idea that Antichrist doesn't come on the world and scene until the last 7 years of time. That exonerated the papacy. That put Protestantism to sleep. And now we're paying the repercussions. And it's all because of the futurist interpretation of Bible prophecy. Antichrist has been with us alive and well all throughout history, killing God's people, burning Bibles, destroying the gospel, and destroying Christians. He made war against the Lamb of God. And that's the truth. And the reason the ecumenical movement is so successful in the United States today is because of the Jesuit reinterpretation of Bible prophecy that was taught in all the seminaries It's called futurism, the idea that Antichrist doesn't come until the last 7 years of time, and one needs to worry about Antichrist. So listen to the program Monday through Friday on First Amendment Radio. The program's called Inquisition Update. Thanks, Walt.
Okay.